This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
Welcome to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us as Deb talks with her guests, experts in their fields, as they share real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And today we're going to have so much fun because we will be talking with a very successful entrepreneur in a field that I know a lot of people think, ooh, that sounds cool. And I actually have several business associates and friends who are in this field. It's one of those fields where people really do think, wow, very interesting, very challenging for a business professional. It is a field, and I'm teasing this on purpose. It is a field that as a business professional, we all need to know someone who does this. So that's part of the intrigue on doing this. And so please join me in welcoming David McCammon to our program today. Welcome, David.
Well, hi, Deb. Thanks for having me. This is great.
Well, now that we've just really piqued everyone's interest, I want to tell folks that you are a professional photographer. And I have seen, you know, your work samples and absolutely positively stunning work.
Well, thanks very much. I've been doing it for a while, 30 odd years. And you're right, it is a very cool industry and challenging, and but very exciting. I've had some just tremendous experiences meeting really interesting people, doing very interesting things. And and the business side, as we talked briefly before we started the interview, and the business side was something that really wasn't in my field of view, really. Mm-hmm. I just loved what I do, and this is a problem with a lot of photographers, mm-hmm. a lot of artists. And but I had a woman that I was married to who understood business and mm-hmm. taught me a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll talk a little bit about her too, because she is, part of this is on working with someone that you are married to, because it is always a little bit of a challenge, and some things like that. But, you know, it's very interesting. And before we really jump in, I want to tell people just a little bit about you. So a successful image is not created in a burst of light at 1/60th of a second. It is manufactured over time through conversation, with attention to details, and a depth of photography experience. David McCammon uses light to highlight the details of machined steel, to provide shape to fresh fruit, or to illustrate the wooden grain in a finely constructed chair. He engages his subjects to bring out the enthusiastic, caring expression or the twinkle in their eye as they lean slightly into the camera. After 30 years as a professional photographer, David recently published his book, Image Power, Balancing Passion and Profit in Business. His intent? To illustrate to photographers how they can make a great living in this incredible industry. So again, David, welcome.
Well, thank you.
I know. You know, sometimes I get so enthused about talking with my guests that I forget to tell people about you. I read your book. I'm not a professional photographer. You know, I'm one of those people that, you know, uses my iPhone and gets on occasion kind of lucky. But as I read your book, and this was what really piqued my interest about it, yes, it is about how to be a professional photographer, but there were so many tips that you shared in there about how to be a professional entrepreneur and business owner that it is something that I think everyone could read. And that was what I really liked about it. So we'll talk, you know, obviously more about the book, but let's go back to those, you know, 30 plus years ago. What made you pick up that camera and decide, wow, this is my passion?
Interesting. It was around me a lot. My mother photographed mm-hmm. The family a lot, so the images were there in terms of, so there was that interest that sort mm-hmm. of in the behind the scenes that a lot of us grew up with, mm-hmm. and except now they're digital files on a computer versus these little nice 4x6 prints.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a whole other story because mm-hmm. that's something I really believe in as well, the power of that physical print.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But what happened was I was in my teens, and in fact, I had traveled to Europe at one point, and when I finished high school, I worked for a year, saved money, mm-hmm. and I refused to take a camera because I wanted to journal versus taking pictures. I said, mm-hmm. everybody takes pictures. What? Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I want to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
But shortly thereafter, a dear friend of mine, he was living in Mississauga, which is just outside of Toronto, and I was living in Montreal, and I came up to visit him for I guess it was a long weekend, and at one point, and he had just got this new 35 millimeter camera, and we were out walking around, and he said, you know, if you want to take a picture, just say the word, and I'll hand over the camera. I said, oh, thanks, and I took a couple of pictures here and there as we wandered around. 2 weeks later, back home, he sent me an envelope with four or five pictures in it,
mm-hmm.
and it's funny, the picture that just jumped out at me was of this old rotting stump. It was sort of an abstraction, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and I just went, wow, this is amazing,
mm-hmm.
and so I started saving, and I had a big birthday coming up. I don't remember all the details, but my parents bought me a Fuji ST701,
ooh.
My first 35 mm-hmm. millimeter camera with just a normal lens. And I used that without expanding the technology side, if mm-hmm. you will, for 2 years. And that was a huge learning experience for me and something that the simplicity of it, of having to compose and work with that single lens,
mm-hmm.
I learned a lot in that process as well, at that I, because sometimes like everything comes with a zoom lens today,
right?
And it really changes how you operate, basically. Mm-hmm. And you know, that bit that you read at the beginning, the 1/60th of a second, and that's one of the, I guess, the illusions of photography is the speed of photography, and that's mm-hmm. something else that I learned at that point in time. Shooting film encourages that versus the digital world that we tend to overshoot in digital.
Oh yeah, you can shoot 100 pictures and not care because you can just delete 99 of them.
And you should care.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's my premise. And mm-hmm. and I you know, 1/60th of a second to me is really unfathomable. I'm a big lumbering kind of guy, and so I move slowly, and that kind of speed is really not something that I think that we physically understand as humans,
mm-hmm.
and so we have to slow the process down is what I think,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way I work. There are certain situations where you have to shoot a lot, but a lot of the time it's looking and then bringing the camera up,
right.
and deciding what you're going to photograph before you bring the camera up. But anyway, that first experience really catapulted me forward into photography, and I never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and the parallel that you know, as I was listening to you and then reading your book, that I drew from this just as a business person is we tend to do things probably too quickly. You know, how can we solve that problem? Let's solve that problem and move on type of thing. Here, let me sell you this product or this service and I'm on to the next customer. And I love how you describe, you know, and you really go into detail in your book about getting to know whoever it is or whatever it is, you know, that you're shooting, you know, whether it's the product, whether it is a person. And, you know, looking at your images, you know, and granted, there are times where you just, you know, by sometimes pure blind luck, get a fabulous photograph, but it is a process, you know, and for, you know, someone like me, the best, you know, we all say the best type of customer is the repeat customer because you're not having to resell what you do. So if you have taken the time to get to know them and really provide what they want, they will come back to you and they'll refer you to other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of it is with photography and any business is creating experience. Mm-hmm. And that in terms of photography, that experience that you create by getting to know somebody, mm-hmm. it feeds into the image that they have on their wall that you created. And I say with them, mm-hmm. and it is with them because part of my process is to get to know people, mm-hmm. Whether, and I learned this, I'll share a story, early on when I started out on my own, because I'd worked for an insurance company as a corporate photographer for about 5 years before mm-hmm. I struck out on my own. But early on, this gentleman came to see me. He wanted to get to know me. He was very shy, very quiet, and we talked. He was in the aerospace industry. He mm-hmm. created parts for landing aircraft, things like that. And mm-hmm. so we just talked, and then he invited me up to his place of business a week later, and I brought my portfolio with me again. He had seen some of my work when he came to the studio, and we talked some more. Again, very shy, withdrawn kind of guy. Third time we got together back at my studio, and he brought two of his parts with him wrapped mm-hmm. up in this wrapping and pulled it out. And so they're sitting on the table in my showroom, and I said, well, what does this do? What is this? It's really beautiful looking mm-hmm. and shiny, but I don't understand what it does. Well, when he started talking about his product, he came to life.
Oh, you took an interest in his baby.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And he was so lively and so, I mean, he was like a different person. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it for me was it brought that item to life for me and gave me an inside track on how I could photograph it in a way that would be meaningful to him and mm-hmm. his customers. And that was a huge learning experience right there for me. I went, wow. I mean, that's the thing too. You learn from your customers when you talk to them. Mm-hmm. And as far as like even a portrait, I mean, I had an experience recently about a month and a half ago where I was asked to go into, it's a company that I do a lot of furniture work for. And they want me to come in and take corporate portraits of their top personnel for LinkedIn, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I set up a little studio in their foyer, actually. And this woman came about halfway through. This woman came and she was literally hyperventilating. Mm-hmm.
Because we hate having our picture taken.
Don't we, though? And anyway, I just stepped away from the camera. We sat down and we talked for 10, 15 minutes before we even considered taking a portrait. And that just changed the atmosphere. And we ended up getting a great shot. She was still very nervous, but it just changed mm-hmm. things.
Right.
Yeah. And well, you're right. Everybody from executives to even little children don't necessarily like having their photograph mm-hmm. taken. Yeah.
You know, and it's difficult, you know, from the business person's perspective, because we're thinking, oh, you're spending so much time. I could be doing something else. But it's not taking time. It's certainly not wasting time to get to know what they want and what they need. Because you want to give them what they want and what they need. You know, you could go in and you could take, you know, a couple quick headshots and they could go, okay, those are okay. They look like any other headshot that I've had or product shot or whatever. And then the next time they need them, they go to the next person in their Rolodex because you just did basically what they needed. But when you get to know them and, you know, and I'm looking on your website right now at the your portfolio in the portrait section. I mean, it's clear that the people were comfortable in these images. Now, I know that, you know, it wasn't just, you know, one image that you took, and it took a long time, but you did make them comfortable, and you got to know them and see, you know, okay, this is how this person is in you know, in their setting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're more comfortable. It's not this horrible stage posed. headshot type of thing. And yes, you know, we still need headshots on occasion, but you know, they can be more artistic. I mean, there's a picture here of a young lady in, and you know, she's sitting and she's leaned slightly forward, and it's not your traditional headshot. I mean, you know, it's showing a good portion of her body. I look at that and I think that would work on LinkedIn. I mean, you know, and it's because, and part of that is I tell people, you know, you want to get a little more creative on LinkedIn because you don't want to be just every other headshot. But, you know, I love the fact that you do get to know them. And that is a lesson to any business owner. Get to know the people. I mean, you know, just think when you walk in, say, to a boutique store to buy clothes, if they don't even say hi to you or acknowledge your presence, you might buy something, you might not buy something, but you're gone out of there fairly quickly. If they say, you know, how can I help you? What can I do? And spend time with you, you're thinking, wow, I am the only person that they are focusing on right now. This is fabulous.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And even when you go, say you go in and buy a pair of shoes and, mm-hmm. and you've had that experience. Actually, I was down in the States just recently. And I bought a pair of shoes. I hadn't intended to buy a pair of shoes, frankly. Mm-hmm. My wife went into, it was a Merrell store. She loves Merrell shoes. And, mm-hmm. and I ended up, this woman was very outgoing, a lot of fun. We ended up talking about music and mm-hmm. different live shows that we attended. Mm-hmm. So when I have the shoes and somebody says, oh, those are a nice pair of shoes, the story of that experience that I had buying those shoes becomes what I share, mm-hmm. right? And that promotes that store,
right?
Because of that experience that I had from this wonderful person who we had a shared interest. And it's easy to find a shared interest mm-hmm. with people, really, if you just open up to who they are and just start a conversation. And truthfully, from a business perspective, from a career perspective, for me, I would say that's been, it's pretty tough whether which has been more exciting for me, the photography or those experiences of just relating to people, mm-hmm. getting to know something about their lives. And it's pretty neat to have that opportunity as an entrepreneur to engage with people. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. And then, as I said, they come back to you.
Definitely.
You know, many years ago, I worked when I was in Denver, I had a client who was a professional photographer, and she did portraits, and she specialized in children, you know, that, and you know, for people, you know, photographers do tend to really specialize, just like, you know, we specialize in any business, and she specialized in children. And she knew her niche and she knew it very well, but she frequently would do a birth photo. And then usually when they started in, you know, kindergarten or so, then usually a teenage portrait, maybe a 16-year-old portrait, and then a typical high school graduation portrait. So she, you know, because she knew these family members, you know, her photo shoots would take 4 or 5 hours, you know, and they were not inexpensive. I mean, that was part of it. You were paying for that service, but you knew that. I mean, you know, and you knew that you were getting that service. But then more importantly, she did multi-generational. You know, she would take those pictures of those children growing up, and then when they had children, they came back to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, she said to her, that was the greatest compliment of all, was when they trusted her with their children.
Yeah, yeah. It's a perfect business model, too, mm-hmm. that circle, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of portrait wedding photographers, they combine that in a similar way of you know, you do a wedding and then you do a family portrait and a child portrait a few years later, depending on the family, and then as the family grows. I used to have a couple of families that they really loved to have, this is pre-digital, and mm-hmm. they loved to have photographs of their family, and they would basically come see me every about 5 years mm-hmm. for a new family portrait, mm-hmm. and in between they went to Sears to get the quick picture,
right,
that they
put
offer.
In their Christmas cards, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they had that ongoing mm-hmm. document, but they always came back to me to get that special portrait done. And it's a total honor to when somebody comes back to you and gives, you know, really have faith in you to create something like that for them. It means a lot for sure. Yeah. Sorry.
And you mentioned that they trust you. And you know, I love the story in your book of the family who had a son who was very ill and going through cancer treatment. And they wanted you to take the family portrait. And you know, I'll be honest, David, I was thinking, oh, my gosh, is this going to have a good outcome? You know, and it did. He, you know, the young man was fine. But tell us a little bit about that, because I loved that story.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty amazing. And it's funny, I've taught part-time at colleges and universities in Ontario for the last 13 years. And I'd often share this story at some point when I was talking about relationships, right? And this was it was always hard for me to be up in front of the class, and my eyes would start welling up and the whole bit. But anyway, she was a commercial client of mine. Actually, I did product photography for her. And she called me up, and she said, I was wondering if you could do a family portrait. And, cause our son he's going through a chemo right now, another round is sort of and this is, a turning point, if you will. And we have to wait a couple of weeks after the chemo so he builds up his strength, et cetera. Sure. So we found a location. It was actually a friend of theirs' backyard by the river, beautiful setting. We went, and the weather was good on that day, and we did. What was really cool was this family, the son obviously had no hair, and he couldn't walk. He didn't have the strength to walk. It's pretty young, 5. And the father shaved his head the whole time. They made his illness, if you will, a part of it made it so normal. For instance, at the end of they would tease each other in a fun way. At the end of the session, I had them all seated on the grass in a nice arrangement. We finished the session. Well, they all got up and left him on the ground and started walking away. And then they paused and they looked back and, what's the matter? Come on, let's go. You know, and he just rolls his eyes. Uh-huh. And when they came into the studio to look at the results, and in those days I would project them on the wall and we would look at them together. And he waited in the front foyer because he didn't want to come into the studio. He was tired. So through the session, the mother said to me, she said, could you put hair on his head? I said, sure. So I grabbed hair from very sloppily from one of the brothers and put it on his head. And we brought him in, and he looked at and he just went into hysterics to see himself with hair on his head. About a month later, we had the prints done, all framed up. She came in to pick them up, and she walked into the studio, and she said, I just came from the doctor's office, and the tumor has gone away. The chemo was successful. The two of us are hugging and crying in the studio. I mean, to have that, to be able to share in somebody's life like that it's fantastic. Right. It's truly, truly something. And to have people, you know, come used to do a lot of weddings. I don't do them anymore. Same kind of thing, where you're having people come in and, you want to make their day special. Because we had an experience, this may be a side, but again, you learn as you go, right? When Julia and I were married, we've been married 40 years, 43 years.
Oh, my.
Anyway, we were babies. when we got married, my mother, again, photography experience, she said to me, do you want a photographer? I said, no, what do I want a photographer for? It'd just be a pain. Again, this was before
they'd be in the way.
Exactly. So 2 weeks before the wedding. My mother says to me, she says, I don't give a damn whether you want a photographer or not, David. I do, and we're going to have. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, Mom. And I've been grateful ever since that mm-hmm. she did that. It's just a small album of images of family and Julia and I, et cetera, that you know, within a few years, members of that family had either passed away or there was a divorce or two. So that even that historical aspect is mm-hmm. huge right. in my mind. But the photographer was he took some nice pictures, but he was a grumpy bear. He was mm-hmm. not pleasant. And we swore we were never going to be like that. We mm-hmm. were going to add to the day rather than be a burden. Mm-hmm. And that the photography, again, is important, but the contribution to making something positive, to adding to the event versus detracting from it. And we'd always, always have people come up to us after the wedding, almost sad that they had to go to their reception because mm-hmm. they're having so much fun with us.
Right.
What a compliment. I mean, mm-hmm. people are just so wonderful. You meet the most wonderful people. And let me do another sideways here mm-hmm. as well. Again, early on in terms of who your client is, not everybody is your client, right? And in any business that you do, and you have to sometimes be, I guess you have to be realistic about it. And early on, I wasn't. I had no idea. I just wanted to get all the business I possibly could. I'd left this job and was now on my own. And we had a woman come in. We were at this point, we had our studio in our home. Mm-hmm. And we had two very young children. And this woman came and showing her work. And she was kind of, her questions were kind of negative from a negative point of view throughout. And at the end, I got out the price list and was going over the prices with her. And she said, well, you know, I could get my uncle to do this for free. And Julia looked her in the eye and she said, well, maybe you should just do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And my mouth just dropped open. And so the woman got up and she left and Julia came back. And I said, What did you do? And she said, you know, she would have never been happy.
Right.
She wouldn't have been a good client. Mm-hmm. She would have complained about everything even afterwards. She's not a good client for you. Mm-hmm. And I went, you know what? You're absolutely right. Another huge learning experience mm-hmm. to go, right. Yeah, not everybody is your client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and that's so true no matter what your business is. You know, and it is hard when you are an entrepreneur, a small business owner, to turn money away. You know, but some of the most rewarding times for me have been when I have fired clients or told them no, you know, this just isn't a good fit. And, you know, we all have that little gut instinct, that little voice in our head going, you know, whatever it is, saying this is not going to work, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, so it is best go with that instinct. And again, it is hard, especially when you have bills to pay, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, I've turned down clients before. Now, I try to refer them to someone else, you know. And sometimes, you know, there have actually been times where I wouldn't refer them to my worst enemy because I've known these are not people that would be good to deal with. But, yeah, if you know, for whatever reason that I can't help them, I do try, if possible, to refer them to someone else, and then everybody's happy. You know, they get somebody that they can work with. That person got a referral, so they're happy. But, you know, your gut instinct is the best thing. You know, if you know this is just not going to work out right, then don't do it, because you're not going to give 100%. You know, you won't return their phone calls in a timely manner. You might not respond to that email in a timely manner.
Yeah.
You know, you do 90% of the job as opposed to, you know, doing 100% or 110%. So, you know, it is best just to say thanks, but no thanks.
For sure. Again, that you're not going to build that relationship that you need to build mm-hmm. if it's not the right mix. What I ended up doing very shortly thereafter was any bride and groom that came and saw me, I would encourage them before they booked me. I would say, go see at least three photographers before mm-hmm. you hire anybody, because not only we have different personalities, so you want the right fit for your day? Because I believe in that day being special, and and that's something that I always wanted to maintain. Mm-hmm. So that part of it. Plus, we have different styles, so right. you might like somebody's style a little more than I do. And I learned at one point I was showing a bride came in to pick up her proofs. And she was looking them over, and she brought a friend with her. Mm-hmm. And the friend was looking over, and the friend started to cry.
Oh.
And I said, "Oh, what's the matter?" And she said, "I wish I had hired you for my wedding." And I knew the photographer that she had hired, and he was more of a fashion guy, did beautiful work, but he didn't do family pictures.
Right. He didn't capture the personality.
Well, he didn't capture she didn't ask the right questions of her, really, to provide her with the end product that she'd be delighted with. And that's my take, or she wasn't doing her due diligence as well. And I think it's really important to have that connection and commitment both ways.
Right.
And it does make for a much more positive, stable, and ongoing relationship and outcome, I think.
Right.
Yeah. And then in a business, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, the tricky thing with weddings is you're not just dealing with the bride and groom. You know, you've got the in-laws, you've got grandma, you've got the cousin who suddenly appears and wants something. You know, but the same thing happens in businesses. You know, you've got some great pictures here of business team members and things like that, where you know, you're dealing with multiple personalities. And so you might have, you know, four people who think, hey, this is a great way to take this shot. And then the one person who may or may not have a lot of influence on the group going, hey, let's do it differently. So it's, you know, and we see that as business people all the time. You know, I work with, typically when I'm working with clients, I try and report directly to the CEO or the president of the company. But doesn't always happen. But somewhere then there's usually a marketing manager, there's a salesperson, there's this, there's that. And so then you're managing all of these multiple personalities, opinions, and things like that. And that gets pretty tricky sometimes.
It can, for sure. I use stories a lot. I'll share two stories with you. In terms of personalities, I mentioned when we were talking before, my father was an executive. But he also loved to farm. He had a hobby farm. So, and I used to hang around with him a lot, work with him a lot. We'd go to fairs and show cattle and things like that. And he could relate to anybody. A French Canadian farmer. We were in Quebec at the time, to an executive, to person running a store, and I really learned from that the way he could. I got my family members call it my schmoozability, my ability to navigate that, and it is in any business you have to position yourself in a way that you can relate to different people. If you can't, then you need to hire somebody that can do that for you. And I learned that from a woman. I was doing a cover portrait for a magazine, and she very successful business owner. And we got to talking, and she said, "Well, this is my second business. My first one failed because I'm horrible at marketing." And so the second time I hired somebody to do the marketing and that. So you also have to, running any business, you got to recognize strengths and weaknesses and bring somebody in to help you with those things that you struggle with. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with photographers before I started out on my own, who great photographers, personality was not so good.
Behind the lens.
exactly. And if they recognize that and hire people, they'll either work for a company, but if they want to strike out on their own, they've got to find somebody to sell for them or something to that effect, right? I had another story in there, but it's gone.
Well, you and I were chatting before the program started that, you know, the yin and yang of working with people, and you worked for many years and still do, but your wife was kind of that opposite part of your business where she did the accounting and things like that. And you know, I love that because sometimes we forget that we need to ask for help. And sometimes the best help we can get is, you know, under the same roof. But yeah, it is something that, and I talk about this a lot on my program, we think we have to do it all. You know, in order to be successful, I have to do it all, and I can't admit that I don't know how to do whatever it is. You know, I hired somebody to help me write my LinkedIn profile. I teach people how to use LinkedIn. I mean, you know, that's it's just those things. You know, I certainly have a CPA. I have a lawyer, all those various things. It makes you, or helps you, I should say, be more successful when you build that good team around you.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And Julia and I have been a great team for a long time. I mean, she was the one, even at one point that I was still working for this corporation. Business was growing rapidly. I was working, you know, 24/7 almost, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And we went for a holiday, and 2 days in, we're sitting around the campfire, kids are sleeping, and we're talking about the business. And she said, why don't we just do it? So mm-hmm. she was always there supporting right. me, but also asking the hard questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, even, you know, of putting quotes together. And I'd always, for years, run it by her to sort of, what do you think? Because I tended, it's funny, she always said I either went way too high or too low. Mm-hmm. And you have to sit down and think about the whole process, mm-hmm. everything that you do with a client. And this is one of the things that I learned, again, through Julia. After I graduated from a photography program at Ryerson, they didn't provide any business education in those days at mm-hmm. all. So I didn't have a clue. So the following winter, she saw there was a night course at another college on the business of photography. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, that sounds interesting. So I went, the first night I was there, the photographer, who was a Toronto portrait and wedding guy, he said, what I want you to do this coming week is whatever you do, whether you do a commercial job or a wedding or a portrait, I want you to figure out everything that goes into that session. Mm-hmm. From cleaning your lenses to ordering film to getting it processed to dealing with talking to the client before, during, and after. It's and we tend to think of just that moment, right? That mm-hmm. session, and there's so much more time involved. And I used to get my he said, I want you to figure out all the time you put into any job, and then figure out what you're making an hour. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, what a reveal. Right.
Were making $5 an hour, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that can be a tendency for artists of any kind, I'd say, that mm-hmm. we love what we do, and we would do it for free.
Right.
But that's foolish. Mm-hmm. It's because we have a lot to give. We have a lot to offer, and we need to build value around that. That's another thing I really believe in today, especially in the digital world. It's really the same rules, if you will, or ideas around business that when I started out, but the digital tends to overshoot, and we give away too much. Mm-hmm. That's one of my goals with this book, is I really want to help photographers create value around themselves and make a good living at mm-hmm. this medium, because it is, I mean, the number of images in the world are huge, right? It's everywhere. And you mentioned LinkedIn, and I look at LinkedIn, and I see these dreadful pictures of people that they stand themselves up with trees coming out of their heads, mm-hmm. and, you know, what I call raccoon eyes, where right. their eyes are black. And this is their first connection with mm-hmm. potential clients, and they look like, they look like heck.
Right. You yeah. know, I when I do my training for LinkedIn, it's funny. I find it, now I never show a real LinkedIn picture because I don't want somebody to go off and find it. But I will see one on LinkedIn and then find, you know, one that's similar in you know, stock photography. I like, you know, the floating hands mm-hmm. where they, you know, because they want to use a picture they like. So, you know, they were with friend, partner, spouse, whoever. And, you know, they had a picture taken and that person had their hand, their arm around them.
Right.
And so they've cropped that person out, but their hand is still on their shoulder, like, you know, the old Adams family hand.
Yeah.
Or, you know, my favorite is, and I see this all the time with men, because men, you know, a lot of times don't tend to go have professional pictures taken. And I will say, you know, to them when I'm actually talking to them, you love your wedding picture, didn't you? Well, yes, it was the happiest day of my life. And I say, well, you know, I can tell that. Well, how? And I say, because that's your LinkedIn picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you know it's my LinkedIn picture? And I say, because men don't typically wear white silk ties in their pictures. You know, and or like you said, you know, they've got the things growing out of their head. And or my absolute worst of the, you know, favorites of the worst are selfies.
Yeah.
Folks, never, ever, 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 never, never do a selfie for your LinkedIn picture.
Yeah.
You know, find somebody, even if it's a total stranger, to take your picture. You know, and
hire a pro.
Yeah,
hire
yeah.
a pro. That's
you
what
know,
I
that's,
say.
That's the best way. And because you shouldn't just be getting a LinkedIn picture. You know, let's be honest, folks. When you're doing professional photography, you want multiple images because you want to use them in multiple ways. Now,
yeah,
you know, I tell people use the same headshot across your social media platform so people don't get confused, you know, on your professional ones. Now, I use a totally different image on my personal Facebook page, but my professional pictures are the same, you know, and so you look at that and it's branding, you know, branding 101. You see that, you know who it is. But when I went and had my picture taken, you know, I think I ended up with 10 different shots, you know, and so there are different ways that I use them on my website, use them on business cards, you know, all these various places. Plus, I just look at them on occasion and go, well, I'm bored with that one. So, gee, now I can change.
Mm-hmm.
Your friend isn't going to do that. Your, yeah. you know, your spouse isn't going to do that unless you happen to be married to a photographer. But you know, it is definitely worth it to go have a professional photographer. And I mentioned, you know, a bit ago about having someone who specializes in that area. You know, you don't want to have a person who specializes in, say, architectural photography take your headshot. Because for one thing, they're probably going to focus on the building behind you because they think it's cool.
Yeah.
But they don't build that rapport and get you looking the best way that you can look. So find that professional photographer. It is worth that investment, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that architectural photographer, in truth, would be wise to have a relationship with that other photographer, mm-hmm. that portrait photographer,
right.
and they can reciprocate, give mm-hmm. each other referrals, right? And that could work really nicely,
right?
And yeah,
because
sure.
you know, say it's a, you know, the architectural photographer is doing shots for an architectural firm. They need headshots, you know, they need pictures of their executives and things like that. So you're right, that's where that all ties in. And you know, again, it doesn't matter what business you're in, what are the business partnerships that you can provide to folks?
Yeah, definitely, really valuable. You know, I'm a member. That's one of the things actually that was most challenging for me when I struck out on my own was the going into my own space without that family of corporate friends around mm-hmm. me on an ongoing basis to talk about politics or hockey games or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And even to throw ideas back and forth about how are we going to accomplish this. And I mean, I worked on a floor that was in the PR department, and we had writers, we had illustrators, designers, and photographers and videographers for a corporation, and so you had people that you could bounce ideas off of,
mm-hmm.
and that was hugely valuable. So when I struck out on my own, all of a sudden I'm in this vacuum. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I joined the Chamber of Commerce and started developing business relationships there and joined Professional Photographers of Canada. So I had other photographers that I was creating rapport with. And those are the go-to places that you need to have as well,
mm-hmm.
Outside of, you don't want to be on your own. You don't want to isolate yourself.
Right. Well, and that does happen with so many small business owners. You know, I say that sitting in my home office.
Yeah.
You know, I am obviously a very social person. You know,
clearly.
I believe you're program number 390. You know, and so, yeah, you know, I am very social. And that to me was one of the hardest things about being, you know, having a home office was not having that interaction. You know, there's only so many conversations I can carry on with my cat. And, you know, and they don't tend to respond in a way.
Oh,
and,
I know.
You know, and technology has made life easier. You know, I will FaceTime with people, Skype, you know, I'm, you know, even just social media, you know, Facebook posts, things like that. But we still need people.
Definitely.
And, you know, mastermind groups, networking groups, all these various things. And even if it's just that you go and have coffee with somebody, you know, we need to get out and about. You know, social media has made it better for the introverts of the world to do business, but you're still interacting with someone. And I think that's one of the things that when I talk to small business owners, they tell me is the hardest for them is that isolation.
You know,
you know, it is. It's very difficult, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. You know, you want to talk about, hey, you know, what did you see on TV last night? You know, you just mentioned hockey. Well, you know what? Go Avalanche. Down here in Atlanta, they don't have hockey. It's very strange. But, you know, it's
comic.
Yeah, I know. We want to talk sports. We want to talk TV shows. We want to talk politics, you know, all those various things. And, you know, even if you are an introvert, you still need to interact with people. And so that's probably one of the biggest pieces of advice is you need to find those organizations, you know, and the industry specific ones. You mentioned the Photography Association in Canada, and we didn't mention that you are actually in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so find those industry specific things. You know, for me, it's, you know, I have attended National Speakers Association, things like that. And then just the general business things. And then volunteer, you know, do other things to get yourself out and about because we can't just be an isolated person.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like yourself. I'm very social. Mm-hmm. Bug, and I get a little, apparently anyway, I get a little squirrely if I haven't been out enough. And my wife tends to be able to be on her own a little more than I do, but I do need that going. And it's interesting. Like I'm part of a morning business networking group at mm-hmm. the moment. We meet every 2 weeks at the crack of dawn. And one of the things that we do is we, above and beyond the normal, we try and have these one-on-ones with each other,
mm-hmm.
and hugely beneficial because we start to get to know each other a little better, not just the business side of our of who we are, but our, you know, families, how we live, our holidays, perhaps whatever our interests may be.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, again, that relationship building, which we've talked about a fair bit, is you when you say you meet somebody, I have, for instance, there's an electrician in our group who really a neat guy. Haven't had my one-on-one with him yet. We just set it up yesterday for a month away. But
mm-hmm.
he just to so that he becomes so much easier to refer
mm-hmm.
when I know a little bit more about him as an individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just fleshes that out. And again, it's really valuable with, again, that I think that's a fundamental component of building a business is mm-hmm. is creating those relationships. Because you never know, you talk to somebody that not even intentionally to you know, promote yourself or anything else, but 2 months down the road, they've got a neighbor, they need a photographer for something. Mm-hmm. Oh, I met this guy a couple of weeks ago. He seemed really nice. Why don't you give him a call, right? And those are those little sideways things is really how it starts to go,
mm-hmm.
I find, yeah.
Well, and it's interesting. I talked to a guest several weeks ago, and he was saying, you know, always be doing that tiny little bit of networking. You know, baseball game, church, you know, in line at the grocery store, and have a business card, you know, that you can hand to them. And I say tiny as in one or two sentences. You know, this is not, you know, I'm going to sell you everything that I do as we're standing here in the line at the grocery store. if you have the opportunity to strike up those conversations, just say, and then, of course, ask them.
Yeah.
Now, grocery store might not be a good example of that. Baseball game, I mentioned, or in church, things like that, because we tend to think we're there for that purpose. We're there to watch the game. We're there to worship. We're there for whatever it is. And we stop to think, they might need our services as a business person, or I might need theirs. So why not quick, fast have that, 30-second exchange of here's what I do, what do you do?
Sure.
And then you go on with the conversation wherever that leads.
Yeah. I think part of that comes from we have this notion as a culture that selling is a dishonorable thing.
Right.
And it really isn't. It's, in fact, selling is you're doing people, if you're doing something well that you mm-hmm. believe in, you're doing people a favor
right.
by telling them what you do
mm-hmm.
and creating an opportunity for them to take advantage of that. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's the honest side of it. And the other a little segue, actually, something I tend to do, but is having somebody close to you who will look at what you do, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and be encouraging when you need it,
mm-hmm.
but also give you a good kick in the derriere when
right.
you need it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something where my wife has been that source for
mm-hmm.
me for a long time. I remember when I first went, well, actually when I was studying photography, and and she would always be, and she said to me I'm going to be always honest. I said, sure, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I would show her a photograph, and she thought it worked great, she would say so. But if she thought it was junk, she would say
mm-hmm.
that too.
Right.
And sometimes you put that out, and early on,
mm-hmm.
ego got in the way for me a little
mm-hmm.
bit. And she would say, oh, that's terrible. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, what do you mean you don't see this and this? And I'd sort of
yeah.
storm off and go for
mm-hmm.
a little walk, and I'd come back. Yeah, you're right. It's a
mm-hmm.
piece of junk,
mm-hmm.
But
right.
so having those kinds of people around, and that's around business ideas as
mm-hmm.
well as your product. You need that honesty. That
right.
That it's fundamental, really.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, you mentioned something earlier on that I want to go back to, and that's providing value, and we always need to do that. And you mentioned something in your book that really piqued my interest. And that was that, after you're done working with someone, you always send them a thank you note. And I believe you said you use the words handwritten, as in you're not sending them just an email thank you.
Yeah.
But then often you send them a little gift. And I like that concept. But what I really liked was you never gave them a free picture, because you feel that it devalues your work. And I, that struck me, because we see that happen all the time. And I like that idea, because when you start giving away for free what you just charged someone for, it does devalue what you do. And, so it still might be something applicable. I love the fact that you said, when you were doing wedding photography, you might give them the gift of date night. So dinner and movie tickets or something like that. So talk to us a little bit more about that, because as I said, that really piqued my interest.
Yeah, it's because you're saying thank you with a gift,
mm-hmm.
and that gift can be anything from it could be a bottle of wine. You have to know your client, I think,
right.
too.
If they're teetotalers, you don't want to give them a bottle of wine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that kind of thing. So that is it's just, again, it's a reminder. I've never done this, but there's a story that I heard just recently, where this gentleman who is still in the wedding trade, and what he does a week before the wedding is he sends flowers to the bride's office, or the place her place of business,
mm-hmm.
a little note saying really looking forward to your wedding in next week or something like that. Mm-hmm. And just the conversation that something like that, whether it be a gift afterwards
going,
or
where
during,
did you get those
flowers? Those must be from your fiance, uh-huh. right? And no, they're not. They're from my photographer. I mean, and how many sales does that generate? How much interest does that generate? Right. So it's a really nice gesture. That's all you're really doing is saying thank you. I really appreciate it. So it has to be honest. It has to come from a place of your own integrity, whatever that looks like. And the free side is interesting. I'll tell a little story about that. I used to do a pro bono work for the United Way locally, and I did a lot of photography for them, totally free of charge. Mm-hmm. For, I guess I did it for about 3 to 4 years. And then, and my wife was always after me saying, you know, I really don't think you should be doing this for free. And I said, no, it's great. I really feel good about it. And I'm really raising their level of how they look online, mm-hmm. their brochures. I was feeling very positive about it. But at a certain point, I said, okay, maybe you're right. And I don't really it was just a time thing, I think, has sort of shifted my perspective. So I thought, I talked to the head of the organization locally, and I said, you know, I'm going to rein this in a little bit, and I'm going to still do it for much less. But I'm going to charge you 30% of my normal rate mm-hmm. for photography. And she said right away, she said, that's perfect. No problem. I really mm-hmm. appreciate it. One of my discoveries when I did that was they started respecting my time more.
They took it more seriously.
They did. And, mm-hmm. and they took it seriously before, but they weren't as organized. Mm-hmm. The minute they had to start paying for time, mm-hmm. they were far more organized for the photo mm-hmm. shoots. And that was a big reveal. So it does. If you do stuff for free, it devalues what you do. Mm-hmm. And you're never, it really, people, when you do something for free, they're not, typically don't come back. Mm-hmm. And
And they look for the next free person.
Exactly. Exactly. So discounts for sure. Maybe you can give people gift certificates for to share with, you know, if they give you a referral, they, mm-hmm. they maybe give them a print or a discounted photo session or something mm-hmm. of that nature, by all means. But giving it away for free just doesn't work.
Right. Well, and of course, when you give something free to one person, the next person expects it. You know, they say, well, you know, hey, David, I see that you did Sue's headshots for free. Why won't you do mine for free?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. And that's actually the only time I've ever given away photography was with United Way. So, mm-hmm. but interestingly, my publisher, I encourages me, because the idea of this book is also to grow business elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So the book is a great information source. There's a lot of, as you indicated, a lot of valuable information mm-hmm. in there, but it also is encouraging people to reach out to me. And because I want to reach back to them to provide them with a service to grow their business in photography. Mm-hmm. So there are ways of encouraging. You can give, actually, another way of giving stuff away for free, in quotation marks, if you will, mm-hmm. it's to you need to figure out what you want to get paid for a certain thing, say a portrait session. I want mm-hmm. X amount of dollars to run my business, to do this and that, to put into my retirement, all those kinds of things that are necessary to figure out what you charge. Mm-hmm. But I'm also going to encourage people, I'm going to add on these items. Mm-hmm. And in terms of value, I still believe in photography, the value, if you're a portrait photographer, wedding photographer, the real value is in the physical print. Mm-hmm. Whether it be in a book or on the wall framed. And I'll tell you the reason why that. I have in my studio here on one wall, I have four pictures. Mm-hmm. One is of my dad when he had his portrait taken by Josef Karsch, world mm-hmm. famous portrait photographer. And then I have another portrait of my dad taken as a teenager before he went to the Second World War. It was taken by his uncle, his brother, my uncle. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a picture of we grew up five boys in our family. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture that I have here of the five of us. I was probably eight mm-hmm. at the time in our home in Montreal. If those were in a digital file on an external drive somewhere, I'd never see them.
Right.
They're out in my physical living space. Mm-hmm. And I see them anytime I come down into this space, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you look at it and you go, wow, I love that. Mm-hmm. And there is the value of it. And giving away these digital files, I think is crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're doing service to our clients ultimately when we do mm-hmm. that. Now, if somebody buys our portraits, then we'll give you a certain number of files for social media, things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, you do need a digital version of some things.
Exactly. So those sort of free add-ons are definitely something that we can do to sell our work. Mm-hmm. But I recently saw a local guy who's doing weddings, and he's charging a decent dollar, I guess, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I would do what he's doing for that dollar. And I don't think he's looked at the bigger picture, but he's giving away all these fully finished digital files. Mm-hmm. He's losing control of his work.
Right.
And it just doesn't make any mm-hmm. sense.
Well, and then they will take those digital files and manipulate them, you know, do all sorts of things. And again, if that's the way he wants to do business, that's fine. But
he won't be in business long if he follows that model, is my feeling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry.
Segue. Well, David, holy cow. We could go on. There were several things that I wanted to talk about that we didn't get to. So hopefully we'll be able to discuss things with you again. Your book, I want to encourage everyone who is a business owner to read it because it's got great tips. It's called Image Power, Balancing Passion and Profit in Business. Tell us, David, how they find you online.
They can go to my website at davidmcphoto.com. Mm-hmm. And there is you can purchase a book through there if you like. And there's various versions available on my site. You can reach out to me via email, david@davidmcphoto.com, or you can even send a contact form through the website. And or you can even phone me. There's a phone number there, and I'd love to hear from you and help you out with whatever you need around photography, around your business. I certainly have a lot of experience going into it.
Perfect. Well, I am Deb Creer. I really have been having an absolutely wonderful time talking with David McCammon. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us next time for more real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
You've been listening to C-Suite Radio. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.